cotton mill. But by the time Peter was impressing the teachers at St. Ethelbert's Primary School with his Frank Spencer impressions, his first school report noted, Peter seems unable to resist trying to amuse. Michael was working as an engineer at the Dobble Rope Works, while Deirdre had left her job as a chiseler at a paper mill to stay at home and raise the family. Motherhood rather than chiselling being her calling. When he was in his 20s and he was asked what his father did, Peter answered, I don't know, bash metal. That's what dads do, innit? The Kay family lived in Dobble. Peter used to tell people, you say it like wobble, except with D instead of W at the front. They lived with Michael's parents, Stanley and Edith. Dobble was an area with a large South Asian community, a mile or so from the town centre, which consisted mainly of two up, two down, back-to-back houses that easily reinforced dated southern stereotypes of grim northern towns populated by women with headscarves over their rollers scrubbing the front steps. Peter's father was a small man, just over 5 feet tall, but, like most of the men employed by the ropeworks, he had an unquenchable thirst for alcohol. He was a funny man who deployed bone-dry sarcasm and enjoyed telling jokes, especially the punchlines, which he'd repeat mercilessly until everyone got them. Are you having that? Peter's mother, who was born in Coal Island, in County Tyrone, Northern Ireland, was, he says, very different. A bit mad. More laugh out loud. Neighbours say the couple were like chalk and cheese. Deirdre wasn't a drinker, so they were seldom seen out together. Like many a God-fearing Catholic tyke, Peter Kay was an altar boy from the age of 5. As a child, however, Peter worshipped in front of a very different altar, a 24-inch oblong one that took pride of place in the Kay living room. Aged 8, he saw a vision, his first celebrity in the flesh. When the family walked out to Four Lane Ends in nearby Farnworth one wet Sunday April morning, and he saw Jimmy Savile jog by in the Bolton Marathon. To commemorate the occasion, Peter bought a novelty soap on the rope Jim will fix it medal. Fortunately, Peter's girlfriend Karen Peel, who went to the adjoining St. Ethelbert's Roman Catholic Junior School, was around to witness Peter Kay's debut public performance in a production of The Wizard of Oz in the spring of 1984 to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the school. He was the mayor of Munchkinland, and I do remember him stealing the show a bit, she recalls. This wasn't to be the last occasion on which Peter would follow the yellow brick road. The next time, rather like Dorothy's trip over the rainbow, it would be an event that would change the course of his life forever. TV was not just an addiction for the young Peter Kay. It was much, much more than that. Where other kids' lives would be measured out by football fixtures or exams, Peter Kay's ran to the timetable supplied by the Radio Times. Saturdays meant the Pink Panther show, Doctor Who, Jim'll Fix It, 3-2-1, and his dad's night to cook. We'd have breakfast at night time because it was all he knew how to make, so we'd have full English for tea, says Peter. Peter's fear of missing something life-changing on TV abated in the early 1980s, when the Kays were among the first families on Willows Lane to buy a video recorder, a Ferguson Video Star top loader with a remote control on the lead. According to family legend, when Peter would press rewind on this primitive piece of high-tech, the whole house would shake. Soon his bedroom would be lined with entire runs of Hello, Hello, Porridge, and his favourite in his early teenage years, a sitcom starring an alien from the planet Ork who once laid a giant egg from which his son emerged and enjoyed something of a romantic liaison with a puzzled young lady from Boulder, Colorado. I've got every episode of Mork and Mindy on video except the last one, he says. There were 95. The last episode of Mork and Mindy. I started taping them thinking, well, there won't be that many. Every Wednesday, I'd run home from school and tape them religiously. I carried on and I went to Spain in 1991. And it was the last episode of Mork and Mindy. And I sent cards from Spain. I rang up from Spain saying, tape it, tape it. Did they tape it? Did they? In years to come, of course, the Ferguson Video Star would feature in Peter's stand-up act when he recalled how his father would put a cushion over it whenever they left the house to prevent it being stolen. Nobody would steal it, jokes Peter. It were too bloody heavy. Peter attended Mount St. Joseph's in Hawthorne Road, Dean. The school buildings were tagged on to a crumbling old convent, home to the authoritarian